Well, here's a challenge for you. Run for the Republican nomination for the top political job in Kansas against a sitting governor and a secretary of state with as much name ID as the president of the United States. But that's what Jim Barnett is doing in a determined bid to win the nomination that he claimed back in 2006 in what turned out to be a losing race against Kathleen Sebelius. Jim Barnett was raised on a Kansas farm. He's a doctor and a former state senator, as well as a former president of the Emporia School Board. And he's right here with me in the studio. And Jim, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Great to be here, Steve. Thanks.
A small disclosure, about 40 years ago, I worked in Glacier National Park with Jim's wife, Rosie, in what was one of the most memorable summers of my life. And I wish I could do it all over again, Jim, and that would be fun.
40 years flies by quickly.
As we know.
You still look young.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Don't feel as young as I did. Well, this is one tough race. Why are you making it?
Yeah, great question. You know, back in August of 2016, we saw a different kind of legislature elected in Kansas. And by that, I mean legislators elected just to fix the Brownback Collier tax disaster. They were willing to cast the votes they needed to create a new economic foundation for the state, knowing they would get clobbered in this upcoming primary. We saw that and thought maybe the state would be willing to elect a governor who is willing to do the same. The state is in a mess. They need a governor, a lieutenant governor, who will just fix the messes.
How big of a mess, how big of a hole is Kansas in? You served 10 years in the Senate. You have a sense of this. How big of a mess?
Big mess. It's going to take a decade to get out of the mess, if not a generation. Just financially to get out of the hole we're in is going to take a long time. But we also have now generational impact on children and families because of the decimation of services, a systematic dismantling of mental health care, an education system that has gotten behind and hasn't kept up with workforce training. We've got a highway program where we're bonding money, $1.3 billion since 2010, interest-only payments for 20 years before we pay principal. It's that kind of wreck and reckless governing we had from Brownback and Collier.
As you get around the state, Jim, do you have a sense that Kansans understand exactly the state that Kansas is in right now?
It varies from voter to voter, honestly, Steve, and that's one of the reasons we're traveling so much. We drive around in a red truck. We have over 75,000 miles, original tires, and one new windshield, okay? But that is why it is so important we get out. We feel like grassroots and getting out among people is how we actually win voters over. And once you have a conversation, then they understand it.
Let's talk about your background a little bit, Jim. You were raised on a farm, but you say in your campaign biography that while you love the farm didn't love you. And I'm wondering, why not?
You know, I had asthma and hay fever as a kid. You know,
that'll do it.
When you get out in the field or in the grain bin, and you start wheezing, you can't breathe. You think maybe I should do something else. So, I decided to practice medicine. I've done that for 36 years, 28 in Emporia, now in Topeka at Stormont Vale. I love medicine. It's really what I am in my heart as a physician. But I got bitten by the public service bug when I was asked to run for the school board, and I haven't been able to shake that bug bite yet.
I was going to say, when you first got involved, you had a former superintendent in Emporia, I think, who stopped you one day and said, Jim, we've had a series of bond issues in our town, and they've all failed. We need some help. Would you pitch in? And you passed it.
That's right. It was actually, we needed a new middle school and we were out of compliance for Title IX. So women's sports, girls' sports didn't have equal playing facilities. So I did work on that bond issue. It passed. And then I got asked to run for the school board. And I did. I served as president for 4 years. I do believe in term limits, Steve, so I've self-imposed those. But those were my best years of public service. Not that because I was a teacher, I'm not, but I got to rub shoulders with teachers. I saw what a difference they made in children's lives and what a difference they make in our state's future.
So given that, as you look at the funding for state schools going back a number of years now in Kansas, where do you think we are and where do we need to be?
We're not equitably nor adequately funded. I will tell you that, traveling the state. I'll give you some examples. If you go out to Tribune, Kansas, out by the Colorado border, they have school 4 days a week. I would just ask the question out loud, would Johnson County parents be happy with school 4 days a week? If you go to Waukena,
it's 4 days a week. Why?
They can't afford to stay open 5 days a week.
Yeah.
If you go to Waukena, Kansas, they have no band. Their only foreign language is on the internet. We're in Blue Valley. We teach immersion Chinese in second grade. So it's clearly inequitable and by definition inadequate. Now, we came out in November of last year and said we need $600 million stair-stepped in over 3 years to get out of court. We need to get out of court for one very important reason. teachers are telling their own children, don't go into education now because the state has lost respect for teachers, slapped them in the face, and don't value education. So we need to get out of court alone, because you talk to superintendents around the state, the application stack for new teaching positions is down to zero, and that's now. So we have a teacher shortage. But more importantly, we need to get out of courts. We can focus on the changes we need in education to train the workforce that we need to grow our state's economy.
So you said you proposed $600 million over 3 years. The legislature this year did $525 million over 5 years. So I guess in your estimation, that wasn't quite enough.
No, and I would tell you this, just like I tell my pardon me, I tell my patients my crystal ball broke, okay? I don't have any way to predict what the Supreme Court will rule, but I would be surprised if they accept this. I think with the bill the governor signed, we're going to be right back in court. And then, of course, the legislature shot themselves in the foot when they commissioned another study out of Texas that said, oh, we need $2.1 billion. And, oh, by the way, the schools are actually highly efficient in how they spend our money.
So how would you handle this then as governor? What needs to happen going forward? Assuming the legislature gets called back in, you would call for more funding for schools.
I would. And I tell you what, this is really, we can talk about taxes and spending, but what this is really a leadership issue, Steve. We're using standards to follow in court proceedings called the Rose Standards, which come from Kentucky in the 1980s. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're not actually standards at all. They're not measured.
Right.
We need something that is pertinent and measurable today, 2018, for our children. And what I will do as governor is convene the right people like educators, parents, businessmen and women, legislators, State Board of Education members, to develop pertinent standards. And I think they're right under our nose with the new redesign in Kansas called Kansans Can, which Randy Watson is heading, and it's just wonderful. But on the front end is, are kids ready for kindergarten? Because if they're not, they're likely going to fail. On the back end, can they get a job?
Jim Barnett, the Republican candidate for Kansas governor, is my guest. So what's happened in our state, Jim? Because you go back years now, and it seems like the conversation for a decade has been, are we spending enough on schools? And lots of criticism that we're not. And what I'm wondering is, has the state's commitment to quality public schools, which is sort of part of the state's DNA in some ways, has that waned?
It has. Unfortunately, under Brownback and Collier, we saw the shine go off, even in Johnson County. That's happened. And we've seen a narrative from Brownback and Collier that we don't value teachers and we don't value education. That has to change. I look at Kansans as having the following values. We'll educate our children. We'll build our roads. We'll take care of those in need. And we'll pass on something better to the next generation. Under Brownback and Collier, we have failed on all those measures.
Just to be clear, under Governor Brownback, it's well known and been well established that hundreds of millions of dollars were taken from the state highway fund to pay for other governmental needs during the Brownback years. So you're hundreds of millions of dollars in the hole. How do you recoup that?
It's going to be tough. So, you know, when I started looking at this in August of 2016, it became clear to me, Steve, that the only way long term we get out of this mess is economic growth. And so that's why we focus so much on policy and ideas that the governor and lieutenant governor can actually bring for economic growth.
I mean, arguably, Governor Brownback was pushing the same idea. He thought that by cutting taxes, you would spur economic growth.
Well, he hurt the state badly. When you talk to businessmen and women, what they need workforce training, infrastructure, education, healthcare, quality of life issues. That's what they need to succeed. Seventh or eighth on their list consistently was taxes. Brownback and Collier put all their eggs in one basket. They zeroed out taxes for $300,000 plus and let all the rest go to the wayside. So that's the mess that the next governor and lieutenant governor have to fix.
And it's, again, as you're saying here, it's quite a mess.
It is quite a mess. It will take years to get out of this.
You know, there's a push in the legislature right now to pass this constitutional amendment, Jim, to remove authority from the courts when it comes to judging whether enough money has been spent on public schools or not. Would you favor a constitutional amendment like that?
I do not. You know, this isn't about the courts. It's about kids. And it's really about not funding schools adequately and equitably. So, you know, that's been brought up many, many times, and it's failed repeatedly. But we really need to be focusing on our kids, not the courts. It's short-sighted, I believe, and if you look at what the history is in the state of Kansas, there has to be a balance. We should respect our Constitution, and we should respect separation of powers.
You know, you're talking here today, Jim, about the needs of schools, the needs of highways, the needs of support services to grow a better workforce. Ultimately, do we need to raise taxes to fund all that?
You know, that is one of the unique things about our campaign, Steve, is that we're saying we're not going to continue to be a state that lives month to month and paycheck to paycheck. We're actually a state now that lives on credit card debt when you look at what we're doing with bonding for our highway program. We know that if you want to make money, you have to have money in the bank. You have to put money in the bank. You have to invest in the state. It is unique about our campaign that we're saying, yes, we have to do that. So we need a governor and lieutenant governor who will give a budget that balances. If that takes adjustments in revenues, we will do that. And I'm glad to talk about that further if you want.
I want to go back to this notion you said a few minutes ago, Jim, just to underscore this idea. You're saying that the state has been borrowing money to pay for road construction. We're borrowing and we're going to be paying back interest for 20 years and not getting to the principal until after that time.
That's right. It's $1.3 billion since Brownback and Collier were in office since 2010. Right now, the only new money that has been put in is $400 million, again, just for resurfacing. Now, those roads will be worn out by the time we ever start paying principal on them. That's why I say we've gone to a credit card debt, passing that on to our children and grandchildren. Those are not the values that we represent in this campaign.
When you present this picture to the voters of Kansas as you make your way around the state in your red truck, are people accepting of what you're proposing? Because the mantra in this state for years now has been cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes.
Yeah, that's been the mantra of the Republican Party, is you solve all problems by shrinking government and lowering taxes. It didn't work. We're going to have to invest in the state and recreate a functional state government. That's all the way from the highway program to mental health services. We've had riots and fires in our prisons. DCF, things are they're just unspeakable about what's happened there. So Rosie and I are going to have to recreate a functioning state government that's going to take investment.
Rosie, your wife, and your running
mate. Lieutenant Governor running mate, that's right.
That's an unusual twist for a gubernatorial candidate in Kansas. I've not seen that in my years covering politics. Why did you do it?
Yeah, you know, Rosie has served her country abroad in some tough spots as a chief operating officer of embassies around the world, places like Bosnia, Afghanistan, Kuwait after the Gulf War, with expertise in management and efficiencies, making government work. Government went off the rails during the last 7 years with Brownback and Collier, and we've got to get that back on the rails. The other area of expertise that she has experience is in trade. When you think of all of our ag and livestock, all the products we manufacture in Kansas, we need markets. That's especially a sensitive issue right now, and we're talking about markets and tariffs at the national, international level. She brings that familiarity. She knows what works in governments and what doesn't work, and knows that our embassies support those people around the world. We also know that we've got to recreate a functioning state Department of Commerce. We used to have people internationally in there, those offices helping us with trade and new businesses. They were all decimated again through the Brownback Collier tax disaster. So we've got to recreate that functioning state government.
Jim Barnett, the candidate for governor of Kansas, is my guest. Let's turn to guns, Jim. The state has expanded rights for gun owners. Has it gone too far?
You know, it probably has, really, Steve. If you look at Kansas, we're even beyond Texas in terms of where we are. And, you know, we hear this come up a lot in terms of school safety. What can the governor and lieutenant governor do in terms of school safety? So, you know, part of that is funding. We need to have funds for schools to have cameras, alarms, locks, doors between rooms so that there is an incident, they can move from one classroom to the other. Any new school built today is going to be under one roof, so there's not an open space for shooters. But every school district we face, we talk about mental illness. And so the next governor has to restore and rebuild a functioning mental health system in Kansas. It's been systematically dismantled by Brownback and Collier, and actually the privatized Medicaid system called CanCare, which is a wreck, has cut beds, it's cut services, it's cut treatment. So now in Kansas, we address mental health care in one of four ways. One, our emergency rooms where nurses aren't safe or trained. Two is in our jails. Every law enforcement officer you speak to, we're now incarcerating them, and how wrong is that? Three is in our schools where they're not prepared. And four is in our homeless shelters. That's not what Kansas is about, but that's where we are now with Brownback and Collier's tax disaster.
So the idea of expanding Medicaid, so controversial in Topeka for so many years, you're all for it?
Absolutely, for two reasons, humanitarian and economic. If you don't have access to health care, you wait until it's too late. You lose a limb, lose a life. And then if you lose your hospital, it's like losing your school. It's also nursing homes. Long-term care facilities now won't accept patients on Medicaid because they know they're not going to get paid, or they're going to have to eat the many months that they take care of someone. So anybody in Kansas who has a senior in their home or family that may be close to outliving their resources, they should be worried about that. Just to make this worse, they use it for profit companies like Maximus that just delay for $25 million. And then we lost all of the good state employees that used to make that system work. Now they're gone. And then United Healthcare, the CEO of United Healthcare made over $66 million, his last salary. And that's 8% profit off the top. Those dollars should be in Kansas communities and supporting healthcare in Kansas. And what's happening is at the city and county level, cities are raising sales tax, counties are raising property tax to help keep hospitals open when we're sending our tax dollars to other states. That's another reason we ought to be thinking twice about expanding Medicaid. We absolutely should do it.
You know, what happened to Kansas, Jim, that it went as conservative as it did? When you were in the state Senate, it was a more moderate body than it is today. The state is, you know, the state of Dole, the state of Kassebaum. What's your analysis as to why Kansas went in the direction that it did?
Big money. You know, just a few very wealthy Kansans control the state.
The Koch brothers.
And some more. They control the election process, electing a legislature that was dysfunctional and a governor who was a disaster, along with his lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Brownback and Collier. So I think Kansans have seen the harm, and now they see the need to come back toward the center and use some common sense and just fix things. So I think Kansas has the opportunity to lead the nation back to the center. But if we elect lightning rods like either Kobach or Collier, Republicans better think twice, because if they want a Republican governor, they better look at Jim Barnett and Rosie Hanson, because Brownback and Collier make it highly likely this state's not going to have a Republican governor. Nothing against the independents or the Democrats running. They're good people. I'm just saying that's, so I think, a fact.
I want to go back to guns. We were on it just a few minutes ago, Jim. Concealed weapons, as you know, are now allowed on college campuses. What do you make of it?
Well, it's highly controversial, and it depends on where you live. If you're out in liberal Kansas in Seward County, they're very comfortable with that. If you go to Edwards campus in Johnson County, they're not so comfortable with that. I'm a local control person. I learned that on the school board. You know, it's quite—
Meaning that different communities can make different decisions about how this issue should be handled.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, we had a conservative governor, lieutenant governor with Brownback and Collier, and they took local control away. You know, you would think that would be a Republican idea. They actually took it away. I'm a local control person. I respect people's elections and local differences.
You know, not long ago, speaking of guns, Kris Kobach was in a parade in Shawnee in which he was standing in a Jeep next to a gun mounted in the truck that looked like a 50 caliber machine gun. It turned out to be a replica, but there was enough of an outcry over it that the city actually went so far as to issue an apology. What did you make of it?
Well, you know, it's a political stunt, and that's how the Secretary of State has gotten his name recognition in part. But it shows a great insensitivity to many young children who are rightfully so worried about safety in schools. They train for that, parents as well of those children. So I'm afraid it was very insensitive on his part, but he did that to gain further reputation and, you know, flame up his base. I mean, this is red meat, and that's what he needs. The secretary has a high name recognition, but he has a very high rating of unfavorabilities. So he's got to flame that base to get them out to vote for him to have a chance of winning the election.
One final question before you go. Two hot-button topics right now. Expanding legalize sports, gaming, gambling in Kansas, would you favor it or not, and recreational use of marijuana, where do you come down?
Both important topics. You know, on the issue of gaming, I'd have to look at that carefully at the actual legislation before I would go there, but the reality is it's coming. you know, because of the Supreme Court decision. So we'll deal with that on a practical basis. On the issue of marijuana, it's actually interesting. That's one of the most common questions we get on the campaign trail. And it's certainly by far not young people. It's across all age spectrum. I started with hemp. I said we've got to, as a state, go ahead and look at industrial or agricultural hemp for, you know, ag products, less water utilization, increase diversity in crops. The second place where I think we should look seriously is medicinal marijuana. Mm-hmm. You know, I've practiced medicine 36 years. I am always trying to figure out how I can help people. I think the time has come for our state to look at that.
But recreational use,
you know, I think the issue is still out there. I have lots of conversations. I'll want to approach that on a science-based approach, and I actually think the data is still out there for review and question.
Okay. Jim Barnett, he's running for the Republican nomination for Kansas governor. Jim, thanks for coming in. Travel safely. Nice to see you.
You too, Steve. Thank you.